I'm going. I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I told you before, I don't have a death wish, but it ain't going to bother me when it comes. Not at all. I'm looking for the rapture. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the rapture. Now, if anybody is worried about World War III, do not, if you're saved. Now, if you ain't saved, you need to worry about it, because you're going to have a hard time. But if you are saved, you will not see World War III. If you're a Christian, you will not see World War III. World War III is Ezekiel 28. Is that right? 38 and 39. And that will not take place until after the rapture. And now there's a lot of things getting ready over there in the Middle East, but you're not going to see World War III. Just want to encourage you. Okay? Everybody all right with that? That's what the Bible said. All right? We're saved from the wrath to come. Amen, preacher. You're right. We're not going to see the wrath of God. I'm glad my first time here at Mountain State. Listen to me tonight. Don't be discouraged down the mouth now. At heaven, we're going to heaven looking on, man. It's going to be great. All right. Listen carefully. We'll let the scripture speak mostly tonight. And but I want you to listen and watch. If you got your Bible, leave it in your lap open and go through it. We'll try not to go too fast. If I go too fast, tell me slow down. Just holler out, slow down. I'll slow down. All right. Somebody want me to speed up, but hurry, I'm getting done. But if I do go too fast, let me know, and we're going to try to help us tonight. All right. Let's pray together. We'll be in 1 Timothy chapter 3 to start with. All right. Let's pray together. Father, we come. Lord, again, you're so wonderful to me. And then I look and you're wonderful to us. And Lord, you've put us in this body together. We're in your body. And you've allowed us to assemble together here. And Lord, we need to be about your business. And we need to be pleasing unto you. And Lord, I believe with all my heart, if we'll be pleasing unto you, then there won't be no schism down in here. So Lord, I pray tonight that we might be mindful of the Holy Spirit. Search us out, cleanse me, that I might not be a hindrance. Forgive me of anything like sin that I've let creep in my mind or my heart since we last spoke. And Lord, I ask you for power to preach as you see fit for me to preach tonight. And we'll praise you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3, been using this as a jumping off point the last couple of weeks. 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul's writing to a young pastor here, young preacher, and concerning the church, he said, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." The church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. I just want to make sure you understand the importance that you have being a part of the body, the church, that you know that you are not in an organization, but you're in an organism. I want to make sure you understand that. You are not part of an organization. We are not a movement. Everybody understand that? We are not a religious movement. We are an organism, a spiritual organism, that we're baptized into one body by Christ. And we are a spiritual organism. Remember that though we be walking in the flesh, we are a spiritual organism. Does everybody understand that? And so we're going to look at some things tonight we've looked at many times. And for the first little bit, I'm just going to try to read the scripture and let the scripture speak to us. And then I got a few things then we'll look at. They won't be no 3 or 4 point outline. Nothing will be alliterated. It'll be just some simple things that we're going to look at, and we'll give you a test at the end, and you'll take the test, and then it'll be up to you whether or not you pass it or not. But you will take the test. It's not voluntary, it's mandatory. If you hear me tonight, you'll take the test. Everybody listening? All right, and all those that's on live stream, we welcome you into our service tonight and glad you're here. Now, make sure that if you see someone that was not here, that you encourage him to watch this message this evening, not because I'm preaching, but because of the content, because we need the content. Everybody okay? All right, let's start looking at some scripture. How about John chapter 13? We'll start there. I'm going to try to read slow. If I get too fast again, tell me to stop. I'm not going to hesitate. I'm going to do my best not to comment. I'm just going to let the scripture say what it says. Becky talked about it a while ago, and we'll see how it pans out, okay? John chapter 13, let's look at verse 34. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35 says, a new commandment. Now this is Jesus speaking. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. We'll read down through verse 11. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Drop down to chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3. And we'll start at verse 11. 1 John chapter 3, start at verse 11. It says, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death into life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. It's interesting. How about we drop down to chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4. Let's look at verse 11. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. It said, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Drop down to verse 20, 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Turn to Galatians, if you would. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we'll start at verse 13. Galatians chapter 5. Start at verse 13. It says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. How about Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll pick up around verse 30 here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Says this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's pick up around verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll pick up at verse 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And we'll pick up around verse 31. Luke chapter 6, we'll pick up at verse 31. Jesus is preaching here. And Jesus in his message says this, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. I want to read that again. That verse is not read often. This is what Jesus said in his preaching. In Luke chapter 6, verse 31, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, What think have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what think have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Now that's a lot of scripture that we've read, is it not? Yes. Did anybody have any trouble understanding any of that scripture? Very simple, is it not? I believe we can say that we ought to love one another. Does everybody agree to that? I believe we can say that without any hesitation, that we are supposed to love one another. And then I can say that we're supposed to love our enemies the same as we would our brethren. Is that not simple enough? And then I believe that we're supposed to treat one another like we would like to be treated. Can we agree to that? And then also that I'm supposed to forgive one another. As not as you forgive me, am I to forgive you, but I'm supposed to forgive you as Christ has forgiven me. Would that be correct? I think that's what we read. And these are all simple things. And these are all things that the body needs to practice. Now again, we are the body of Christ. And we are the part of the body that assembles here under this roof in this place. And we are part of the body. If we are saved, we're all part of one body, brought in by one Spirit, by Jesus Christ. When we're saved, born again, we are all of one body. Am I still correct? Now, in all of that, these words that we just read out of the Word of God is for all of us in our conduct and goes with what our text verse was and how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God, the church, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. And that's what we are. And there are ways we are to conduct ourselves. And these are things that a lot of times we forget and we need to be reminded of. Sometimes we didn't forget, but we know, but we still rebel and do things. To some, the message tonight will be preventive maintenance. It'll be for what we ought to take care and make sure that we are on guard, that we do love one another and forgive one another and walk with one another, that there be no schism in the body, that we help those that are a little weaker than us, because everybody's not on the same page and everybody's not on the same level, and there are some comely parts and there are some, but yet the scripture says that everybody's necessary. And I want to encourage you tonight and let you know that you are necessary in the body of Christ, and you're necessary in this local assembly of the body of Christ where we're at, that you are necessary and that you are important with the talents and the gifts that God has given you, that you are important to this part, and God has placed you where it pleases Him, the scripture said. Are we all right so far? Now all of that, and we know these things, but I want to encourage you that you're important. The children are important. The babies are important. The children are important. The young moms and dads are important. The middle-aged moms and dads are important. And the old heads, we're all important. There's nobody that is less needed. Do you understand? Nobody is less needed. All right, everybody is needed. Everybody is necessary for the service of the Lord, because we're all placed into the body whom Christ is the head, that we might work together for the cause of Christ and for His glory, not ours. Not that the body be glorified, but that the head be glorified. For all glory goes to the Son. And we know this, and I'm just trying to encourage you and let you know all that you're important. But, I'm afraid, and it happens every year, We're getting ready for youth camp, and we got an infection. We got an infection in the body. And the only way to get rid of the infection is for the, we got to take antibiotics for the infection. All right? And sometimes the medicine ain't no good. Sometimes the medicine tastes bad. I don't know. I've said it many times. I don't know. Some of these young ones don't have a clue. Anybody here remember Glisco? Glisco we used to take for the croup. That's what Mama used to give us. I don't know. It might have been horse liniment. I don't know what it was. Yeah. But it was the nastiest stuff it ever was. Mama would give us that. Yeah. I remember going to Doc Harrison in Fayetteville. And he'd give us some kind of mycin. It looked like little black gravel. And you'd crunch it up, mash it up in a little bit of, in a teaspoon of water. And man, that bitter's gall. I mean, it was awful. Anybody remember that little black gravel that you'd grind up? And then they'd be a, I'll tell you what it looked like. It looked like, spoiled Cairo syrup. Oh, it was nasty. I can taste it right now. This is in my mind. Huh? And, but you know, it all worked. Sometimes the medicine we got to take is don't taste good, but it works. So tonight we're gonna address the disease. To some that ain't got the disease, to many that don't have the disease, it's gonna be preventive maintenance. Everybody understand that? Ain't gonna affect you a bit. You just know, well, don't ever want to do that. But to some that's got the disease, you need to get shut of it now because it'll kill you. Because when the disease gets into the body of Christ, it is never good. And it will spread. Now, I want you to understand it is a bacterial infection. It's not a virus. All right? Because untreated, it'll kill. A virus will pass. You know. A virus will pass. And this is not a Granny Clampett cure. You know, Granny Clampett had a cure for a cold. They made a big deal of it. They got her in office and the doctors was going to buy it and they was all excited. And finally, Jed mentioned just casually, said, you know, said these people go for miles around to get Granny's cure for a cold. And they'd take it in a week to 10 days, they'd be better. Everybody, you got that, didn't you? There wasn't no cure. Well, for viruses and stuff, they'll pass, but this won't pass. So we're going to give you some preventive maintenance, and then we're going to give you some medicine for the disease tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm not being sarcastic at all. I'm just trying to make it easy on you as I can. Because I love you. All right? But what we can't do is have problems. What we can't do is have problems. We can't have fussing and feuding and fighting. We can't have people not getting along. And it seems like it happens every time we get ready to have youth camp or some kind of special thing. And we ain't going to do it this time. It ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. Everybody listening to me? We ain't going to tolerate it. And we're going to just lay it out. And then we'll take a test here in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says this. And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? That's what Paul is writing to the body there at Corinth. And there was issues because they were more concerned about the superiority of man than they was the superiority of Christ. And can I tell you, and everybody listen carefully, if there's ever any a division or a schism in the church body, it's because of the people want the superiority of themselves or someone and not the superiority of Christ. Every 100% every time, it's because man is wanting to be either their way or whatever, their rights or whatever the case may be, but it's never for the fullness of the Spirit of God. That's what it's never about. See, we learn here that Paul's writing to the church and says, I'm writing to you as carnal. Well, they weren't babes in Christ, but that's how he was having to deal with it. He was writing to them as, well, they was carnal. He said, I fed you with milk and not with meat because they couldn't bear the meat. All right? I'm going to go ahead and say this and let you understand that some of the in-depth teaching we've been trying to do and on Wednesday nights ain't absorbing some because they're carnal. Okay? Because some of the congregation is carnal and they won't accept spiritual things. They can't grasp spiritual things. And it goes across the board. To be carnal is to be controlled by the flesh instead of the spirit. To be spirit-filled is to be consciously and constantly. Consciously and constantly surrendered to the Spirit of God and dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God to love and to serve Christ. Everybody get that? But I'm afraid carnality has infected the church, the body. And this infection is dangerous. Very dangerous. See, a carnal person, the scripture says here, is unable to receive God's wisdom. All right? Because they're acting like a lost man. A carnal man acts like a lost man. Let's read it. Verse 3 says, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? We're not supposed to walk as men. We're supposed to walk as Christ. Yes. If we walk as men, we walk as lost men. Yep. Does everybody understand that? If I walk as Christ, I'm walking in the Spirit. Are we still okay? Everybody still all right? Also, if you're carnal, you cannot receive spiritual things. You have to have a little milk because you can't take, you can't handle a lot of spiritual things. So you got to be fed. For it says, and I, brethren, verse 1, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. Everybody understand what I'm saying here? We're talking about being carnal. See, the life of someone that is carnal, a Christian, a believer that is carnal, the life is no different from a lost person in the way they conduct themselves. Now, let me say that again. There's no difference in a carnal Christian and a lost person in the way they conduct themselves. Remember that. All right? Remember that. So now let's take a test. You ready? We're going to take a test and we won't be long at all. It's a short test. All right? And this is how you can find out whether or not you be carnal. All right? Is your life filled with envy? That's technically wanting superiority. That's what envying is. You're wanting to have it better, or you think you're better than someone else. Envying, strife, or divisions. Is that what's in your life right now? Envying, strife, and divisions. Are you filled with anger? Arguing. Cliques. Divisions. Offenses. Fights. Jealousy. Conflicts. Are you? Are you seeking support from others to feed your offense? Are you seeking support from others to feed your offense? Are you telling others about your conflict instead of taking care of it the Bible way? Everybody understanding the questions? Are you stopping attending worship over the offense of people? Are you stopping doing the work of God over dislike of people? Everybody understanding the questions? Well, if you said yes to any of them, you're carnal. If you said yes to any of them, you're carnal. Now let's go back over a couple of them. Envy, strife, divisions. Are you filled with that? Are you filled with anger, arguing? Now we can take this to the church house or down our house. Filled with anger, arguing, cliques, divisions, offenses, fights, jealousy, conflict. Are you seeking support from others to feed your offense? You know, try to get somebody to support you. I always think when I think of something like that, I'm carnal and I watch Gunsmoke. I always think when they're always going to lynch a man. There's always one that wants to lynch. And all the rest, they get them all worked up over in the Long Branch. They get them all worked up and pumped up, and then they go get a rope and they go lynch somebody. But Matt Dillon never addresses the crowd. He only addresses the one in front with the rope. And after he gets that one took care of, the rest of them go back about their business. Everybody understand me tonight?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, simply put, if you answered yes to any of these things, you're carnal. And the medicine is to repent. Because you're controlled by the flesh, and not by the spirit. Now listen to me, a lot of this is preventive maintenance for so many. And you look at me and say, why would you even preach this thing, preacher? Well, I'm your pastor. I'm making sure you're anointed with oil. We're checking for bugs. All right. As the sheep come in the fold, I'm going to sit there in the gate and I'm going to put my hands around your head and everything. Make sure you ain't got fleas and ticks, and I'm going to put oil on you and dump oil on you and make sure you ain't bruised, hurt and cut and put you over. And then if anything bad, we're going to pull it out. If you got any bars in you, we're going to pull it out. And if you need sewed up, we're going to sew you up and all these things. And then we just got to make sure. Everybody understand? We need to be very careful of this. If the cost of being your friend is I must hate who you hate, then the cost is too high.
Yes, sir.
Let me say that again. If the cost of being your friend is that I must hate who you hate, then the cost is too high. We all right? See, if we can't work together as part of the body, then the problem is ours. It's not the body's problem. If can't serve together because of people part of the body, then it's not the part of the body is the problem. It's my problem. All right? If you're willing to cause division in the church of God over dislike or offense, you're carnal. See, we see the spiritual part of the body on down in the scripture. Let's look down at verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. This is the spiritual part of the body. The carnal part of the body is up in first three verses. All right, let's read them first three verses again, see if we see a difference. And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? But verse 6 then shows us the spiritual part. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. There is the spiritual part of the body that one is planting and one is watering and God is bringing increase. Can I tell you that's what we're supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be, all of us are, some supposed to be planting and others supposed to be watering. And that's it. One planting, one watering. If you're not gathering, you're scattering. That's what Jesus said. And the spiritual part of the body ought to be sowing seed and watering seed. And God gives increase. That's what the scripture said. Look down at verse 9. Let's read verse 9 together. Everybody ready? 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. That's the spiritual part. Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Wonder what verse? How about 165? Psalms 119. Verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's what the Bible says. So probably I'll take the medicine. Preventive maintenance. Preventive maintenance, take your vitamins. If you're infected, take the medicine. If it's preventive maintenance and you ain't sick, take the vitamins, which is the word of God, and sow and water. But if you're sick, and there's some sick, and there's some sick, and there's some sick, I suggest you take your medicine before it spreads. Everybody understand the message tonight? Because what we don't want to have is isolation. That's what we don't want to have. We don't want quarantine. Father, your word is so simple, and yet we're so hard-headed. Lord, I pray tonight that we might determine in our heart and our minds to be spiritual, not carnal. Lord, I pray that we might determine at all cost to work together to sow and to water, that you might bring increase. That we'll beware of carnality that would try to slip in and slip in our minds and our hearts, that we would be cautious of carnality that would arise, and that we would be ready to put it down. And Lord, if we find ourselves sick, You're the physician. And ain't nobody else to go to but You. So Lord, I pray that for those that are infected by carnality tonight in Mountain State Baptist Church, that they come to You, the doctor, take the medicine of repentance, and go on and start sowing and watering. And we're going to praise You for all You do. In Jesus' name, amen.